Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The definite scar, halicha, for coming in this way. Parshat Va'era. So I want to maybe go out of order a little bit, save the best for last. So let's do number three. And actually, there's a paragraph missing from three. I apologize, I'll have to just give it to you orally. But let's start with number three. This is a Meshech Chochma, a.k.a. the Or Sameach. And I've mentioned in the past the Meshech Chochma was a genius. And his Chumash, his Sefer on Chumash is a classic. And he had written his Sefer on Chumash when he was about 16 years old. But his father didn't let him publish it, because in Lithuania in those days, a lot of people wrote on Chumash. So he told him, first you have to publish your novel on the Rambam and on Shas. And then when people see who you are, then they'll go running for your Sefer on Chumash. And that's what he did. So he published the Or Sameach on the Rambam, and people saw what kind of a scholar he was. And then the Meshech Chochma became a tremendous classic. So I have two offerings in the Meshech Chochma today, but we're going to do number three first on the sheet. And the Meshech Chochma answers a question. In the pasuk, it says, "Vayitzavem el bnei Yisrael ve'el paro melech Mitzrayim lahotzi et bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to command bnei Yisrael and paro to let the Jewish people go. So everybody is busy, the Mefarshim are very busy with what does this mean exactly, Vayitzavem el bnei Yisrael, command bnei Yisrael to let the Jewish people go. Well, what's that all about? It's not up to us to let the people go, it's up to Paro to send them out, right? So the Or Sameach has a very unique approach to this question, and let's see what he says. He says something fascinating. Yitaken. Ki gam az b'Mitzrayim hayu gedolei ha'uma asher hayu sarim nichpadim ve'efratim. It would appear that there was class distinction in Mitzrayim. In other words, there were Jews in Egypt who lived an upper middle class life, princes and almost royalty, Jews who were not enslaved. And they, these Jews, were in charge of the servitude of the Jewish people. In other words, the Egyptians sold them to these Jewish slave owners, so to speak. Now, who were they? Now, you know, there's another strange thing in the Parsha. If you'll look at the Parsha, and you'll see that in the middle of this, the whole discussion of taking the Jewish people out of Egypt and coming to the plagues, the Torah interrupts and gives the lineage of three tribes, of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. All of a sudden, there's a lineage given of these three tribes. What's that all about? So he wants to suggest that the answer to this question of command the Jewish people to let them go, and the lineage of these three tribes, and relates to the upper class of Jews who were living in Mitzrayim, and who were they? So he wants to say, perhaps it was these three tribes who were enumerated at this point, Reuven, Vishimon, Velevi, Shehin Higu Svara v'Mitzrayim, who conducted, they were on a higher level. They were on a higher level in Egypt. Kemosha Isab and Medrash Naso, as the Medrash itself says, Levi Shalohaya Veshivud Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, the rabbis in the Medrash tell us that Levi was not part of the servitude in Egypt. Ulechen lo natal nachla baretz, and Levi did not get a portion when the land of Israel was divided up. Levi did not get a portion. You know, Shevet Levi did not. The priestly tribe was did not have a nachla in Eretz Yisrael. V'chein Reuven lo natal. Even Reuven did not take. Rak be'ever hayarden. Remember, Reuven was on the other side of the Jordan. V'shimon nitkayim alav achalken be'yaakov. Kamo shepirush Ramban. The Ramban explains that Shimon also did not get a specific portion. He took pieces from different tribes. Umehem hayu b'nei Chorina, harbei v'sarim. And from these three tribes, you had an upper class who were exempt from the Shibud Mitzrayim, from the servitude, from being slaves. This is news. Asher hayu mishubadim et Yisrael hanim karim lehem mehamem shalah. But they were in charge of all the slaves, of all the Klal Yisrael were divided amongst these upper class Jews. Lechein, therefore, Tziva Hashem Yitbarach, God commanded shebnei Yisrael gam paro l'tshuat Hashem. He commanded not only shepharo let the Jewish people go, but it's time for these Jews, these upper class Jews from Reuven, Shimon, and Levi to let the Jews go. Sheyakov birachotam ish ish kibrachato b'chalukat haaretz. Yaakov, the father, blessed the children, each one. Kemo shamar, like in the blessings of Yaakov in Vayechi at the end of Sefer Bereishis. Vayarchato al Sidon, right? The last border will be Sidon. He was dividing up the land. Avol shloshe shvatim halalu, but these three tribes, she Yaakov richikan, that he Yaakov distanced himself from them. Ilu ayu mishubadim kechol achayachem, if they would have been enslaved like the rest of their brethren, hayu mis arvim b'mitzrayim, he was afraid that they would become assimilated in Egypt. That these three tribes who were, Yaakov distanced them. He distanced them in the brachas that he gave them. For whatever reasons that we discussed in, when we went through the parshas and the Bereishis. So he was afraid that if they would be enslaved, they would just assimilate into Egyptian culture. Listen, we don't have a place amongst the Jewish people. Lefichach mona hashkacha mi shtabei otan b'chomer uleveinu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to enslave them. And he goes on. Yotziu et b'nei Yisrael mi'ashivu. They took the Jewish people out of slavery. U'lekach samach l'zeh yichus ha'shlosh shvatim. And that's why the yichus, the pedigree of these three tribes, is actually mentioned now in Vayera, the beginning of Vayera. And when they're going out from Egypt, all of a sudden, only these three tribes are enumerated. U'misayim, and he concludes, Hu Aaron u'Moshe. This is Aaron and Moshe, you know, who came from Levi. Hotziu et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim al tzivotam. Who took out b'nei Yisrael according to their hosts. Now what does that mean? Sheyu kol mishpacha v'shevet tzava b'fnei atzmo. That each family and each tribe was a tzava, was a separate unit by itself. V'lo yishtabu Yisrael zeh l'zeh. K'nira shel zeh kivan ha'yushalmi Rosh Hashanah, and that's what our rabbis mean in the Jerusalem Talmud, Vayitzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, he commanded the Jewish people, Matzivein. What did he command the Jewish people? So here's the answer of the Talmud. Al parshat shiluach avadim. That according to the Talmud, doesn't explain it like the Meshech Chachma does, although he's going to amalgamate the Talmud's view in his idea. That teach them about sending out slaves. The whole parsha of when you have a slave only for 7 years, in the seventh year, 6 years he works for you, in the seventh year you have to free him, right? Meaning, she yishalchu avdeyim mi Yisrael, should send out the Jewish slave, she abdua tachat yadab kemo shekatavti. Now, v'hadahu dichtiv, but this is, he says, he wants to say that really what the Yerushalmi is saying is not like most people learn. Teach them the Parsha and the Torah about sending out a slave. No. When the Yerushalmi says Parsha Shiluch Avadim, it means this historical moment. When these upper class Jews were enslaving the rest of the Jews, that's what he was talking about. Ko Amar Hashem, Anochi Karti Brit et Avotechem. God says, I established a covenant with your fathers, b'yom hotzi'i etchem be'eretz Mitzrayim, when I took you out of Egypt, b'veda mi'beda v'adim le'mor, mi'kei sheva shanim, tishlechu ish et achiv, echava ivri, you have to send out the slave after seven, in the seventh year, etc. Now go to the next paragraph, and then I'm going to have to add a paragraph that's missing. V'itakem lomar, so I want to suggest, b'dat ha-medrash naso, according to this medrash, she'shlosha shvatim elu, these three tribes, hinhigu srara b'mitzrayim, conducted themselves as royalty, as an upper class in Egypt. Lefichach nityachzu kan. Therefore, dafka, necessarily now, their pedigree is mentioned. totally out of place. You'll look in the Chumash, you'll see. Al-Pida Amram Mechilta, based on the comment of the rabbis, the Bishvil, Dalad Dvarim Nigalu. For four reasons, we merited to be redeemed from Egypt. One, Shaloshinu Shmam, we kept our Jewish names. Lashonan, two, we kept our language. Shalom Nechshadu Al-Rayot, we were not suspect of immorality. And four, V'lo Al-Loshon Hara, we did not speak Loshon Hara. Hayu Mitzuyanim L'Goy, we kept ourselves as a unique people. V'hichziku Atzman L'Geri. Mipnei Shehayu Mitzapim, now I'm going to have to add this paragraph. Because we were waiting L'Tshuat Hashem, we were waiting for salvation from God. She Yaakov birachotam ish ish kebirchato b'chalukat ha'aretz. Yaakov blessed each of his children according to their unique qualities when he divided up Eretz Yisrael to us. Kemosha amar v'yarkato al tzidon. The last border, the end of the border was Tzidon. Aval shlosh shvatim halalu, but these three tribes, she Yaakov richikan, that Yaakov pushed aside, so to speak, ilu hayu mishubadim. If they would have been enslaved like the rest of the Jewish people, they would have become assimilated. So they would have said, they would have given up. We don't have a chelek v'nachla, the care of Israel. We don't have a portion. God arranged it that they were exempt from the physical labor and the slavery so that they would maintain their Yiddishkeit. They would maintain their Yahadut and go out with the rest of the Jewish people. Okay, as I say, this is a fascinating pirush of the Or Sameach. Okay, let's go back now. Let's go to one. Now this is from the Pachat Yitzchak, from Rav Yitzchak Hutner. Rav Hutner here deals with the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kfad peh, was a stutterer, according to Rashi. And he deals with it, and it's a problem. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu, and we dealt with this last year to a certain extent, I just want to present it from a different perspective. Remember, there was no mass media. You didn't have a video camera. You didn't have microphones. You didn't have... The only way Torah was transmitted was Revi to Talmud, from the mouth. This was it. And here you're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabban Shal Yisrael, giving us the Torah. And he stutters. What was this all about? Right? So the Ran, Rabbeinu Nissen, who was a Rishon, he says, Rav Hutner might blow by the Ran, but the Ran says that it was for future generations. So future generations would not say to their grandparents, listen, you just had this charismatic speaker. And you remember the old westerns in the movies when the guy would show up with a wagon selling some magic potion and everyone would buy it. It was actually water. It was just the water with some sugar. But he was such a good salesman, everybody bought it. So that's what the next generation would say. You know, this Moshe Rabbeinu, he was just a charismatic guy. And, you know, you bought a bill of goods, but it's really not worth anything. That's the Ran's answer. Rav Hutner says, Rav Hutner takes a totally, totally different approach as to why Moshe Rabbeinu stuttered. And this is, you see, it's in the middle of a very lengthy piece, and I've just taken some major portions from it. Umahalech advarim kachu. Let me explain. And first he starts talking about something we do every day. We say our Birchot HaShachar, and we say, we say Asher Yotza. Asher Yotza is the bracha after going to the washroom, right? So in the morning we say Asher Yotza. And in most Siddurim, after Asher Yotza is Birchot HaTorah. And then Elokai Neshama, thanking God for returning our soul. But really what he's going to discuss now is the Ramah, Paskins in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should, that's not correct, you should really say Asher Yatzar and Elokai Neshama together. You should say them together. And he's going to explain why. I'll tell you outside. Because what's the bracha at the end of Asher Yatzar? Rofei Kol Basar Umafli Laso. He is the doctor of all flesh and creates us wondrously. So you really think that's talking about the human plumbing, which we know, you know, all of us who, you know, we get together now, somebody said last week, I was sitting with some friends, and we're talking about medication, and doctors, that's what you talk about at a certain stage of your life, you know? But it's Baruch Hashem, we say this bracha with great intensity and kavanah, she also. So maybe it's talking about the wonders of creation, the physical body. He says, no, the Ramah says, no, that's not what it's talking about. Rofei Kol Basar, that's talking about Asher Yatzar. He's the doctor of all flesh, right? But then you go to Elokai Neshama, that he gives us a spirituality, that he infuses us with a neshama. The miracle of the human condition is that we are a fusion of the physicality and the spirituality, that we have a guf and a neshama. That's what Mafli La'asot is. So Mafli La'asot is the bridge between the two brachas. It's for both brachas. Rofei Kol Basar is Asher Yatzar, Umafli La'asot, Elokai Neshama Shehatiya Tahori, etc. That's the miracle of creation, that he puts together in our system a guf and a neshama as one. Okay? So now, let's see how he explains that and how this is going to come to Moshe stuttering. We'll see how he comes out with this. Umahalach HaDvarim Kachu. This is how it goes. Guf HaBracha Shel Asher Yatzar Nosad Al Inyanim Shel HaNefesh HaTivi. The bracha of Asher Yatzar was established thanking God for our physical nefesh. Nekavim, nekavim, chalulim, chalulim, right, veins, etc., parts of the body. Or imi pateach, or yistateim, if one of them is closed or one of them is open. Umitzad ze, hi mistayemet mehachatima shel rofei kol basar. And that's why it concludes that God is rofei kol basar, the doctor of all flesh. Ele shenito seif al hachatima zu. But Chazal has added to this conclusion, gam ha'inyin shel umafli la'asot. He creates us miraculously. Why? Mipnei she'acharei bracha zu shel Asher Yatzar, bo hi habracha shel Elokai Neshama, asher benigud levirchat Asher Yatzar, in contradistinction to the bracha of Asher Yatzar, yatzar hanosedet al inyanim shel hanefesh hativit, which is established for nefesh hativit, Asher Yatzar, nosedet hi bracha zu shel Elokai Neshama al inyanim shel hanefesh elokim. That Elokai Neshama is established for our spiritual nefesh, our neshama, right? Natata, Yitzarta, Nefachta, Neshamra, etc. Lechein, therefore, boim hein hamilim halalu shel umafli la'asod betor kesher gesher shel shtei abrachot halalu. So mafli la'asod is the fusion and the bridge between these two brachas. Now, I just say to you, incidentally, it's important to see halacha l'maisa. This is how you should say the brachas in the morning. Don't read most siddurim. It's a mistake. I think even in the art school siddur, I was surprised to see, because you know it's a later siddur put together by Talmidei Chachamim. But whatever it is, but it's ideal to say Asher Yatzar and then Elokai Neshama and then do Birchot HaTorah, do Birchot HaTorah. But so this Kesher Gesher, he calls it. The Kesher Zeh, this connection, mitbateahu b'milim halalu shel umafli la'asot. And that's what umafli la'asot, he creates us with a miracle. That's the miracle. Mipnei shemafli hakavanei. It is mafli. It is mafal. It is a miracle. Miraculous. Shemekasher hagashemi baruchemi. That the physical and the spiritual can come together. Kiloma. In other words, midat gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitgalit b'chiburam shel hanefesh elokit v'hanefesh hativit lahadad. When the ability to put the spirituality and the physicality together, this shows you the greatness of God's creation. Olehi benorotea al midat gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hamit galit bein binyanim shel hanefesh hativit kishehi la'atzman bein binyanim shel hanefesh elokit kishehi la'atzman. This trumps the greatness of God. We see the greatness of God by the physical things that He created. The whole physical world points to the greatness of God. The whole spiritual world points to the greatness of God, but this trumps it, because here he brings them together. Nora'at zu, shel chibur hagashmi l'ruchani. This wonder of wonders, the synthesis of man's physicality and his spirituality, hi hamehaveh dargat hapele. This is the wonder, this is the miracle, right? Lefi yisodam shel divrei haramah, based on these words of the Ramah halalu, mitchaver hu heitev la'ozen shama tochano shel hapasuk. So from this you should understand the words of a pasuk that says, otcha kinorot nifleiti, Niflaim ma'asecha v'nafshi yodad ma. Okay. V'hare ha-pasuk b'ma'aseh b'reishit shel adam. The pasuk concerning the creation of man. Ha-mishamesh mekor l'chibur zeh shel nefesh alokit l'nefesh ha-tivit. You know, there's a pasuk in the Torah that speaks about when God put in the spirituality, the neshama, into man's goof, into Adam's goof. Ha-katuv shel v'yihi adam l'nefesh chaya. Man came a living soul. Dahainu, shehal yidei ahartava shel vayipach ba'apav. He blew into his nostrils, im ha'afar min adamah, from the dust of the earth. So he blew into his nostrils, combined with the dust of the earth, which was his physicality. Blowing into his nostrils was God putting in the neshama. Naaseh la'adam lenefesh chai. He became a living soul. Umikivar shedavka midim halalu, only these words, nefesh chai, nefesh chaya, targem unkelus, unkelus translates this, l'ruach memalala, the ability to speak. Lomdimanu, we learn from this, ki davka ha maziga shel nefesh aloki, v'nefesh hativit, hi hi sheyalda v'chidsha shosho shokoach hadibur. Speech. Listen carefully. You see, now we're coming now to Moshe Rabbeinu. Speech is the one human condition which is the proof and the exercising of the synthesis of body and soul. Because we have a body and a soul, how is that expressed? Through the power of speech. Koach HaDibur is that moment, that expression of the synthesis, the great miracle that God created man as a physical and a spiritual entity. Ulumat asher kol kochot ha-chayim shel adam netunim hem lehityaches la'achat mishtei ha-nefashot halal. Since all of the things that in the makeup of the human persona are either for the development of our neshama, our spirituality, or for the development of our physicality, but here's the exception. Hinei koach hadibur, the power of speech, mityaches hu davka, relates specifically to the mezigatam shel shtei hanefashot hashleimot achat, is the ability to combine both our physical nature and our spiritual nature. Okay, umarim hein divrei amaral, and this really points out, he says, to a few words of the maral miprak, shekatav al zeh shamar Moshe. Now, here we go. Ani aral svatayim. I am aral svatayim. I stutter. I'm slow of speech. What does that mean? So let me put it in my words, and we'll see how Rav Huttner fleshes this out of the Maral. He asked this question, right? We're ready now to answer it. The question was, how is it possible, hayitachen, that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the Torah to the world without any mass media and audio-visual aids that we have today, the only power of speech, that he stuttered? So let me explain it like this. Parents have a child that stutters. So what's their first reaction? They've got this child that's stuttering, he's having trouble in school and this and that. So the conclusion is he's very slow, as we used to say. You know, the child is slow, he's underdeveloped. So they go to the doctor, they go to the psychologist, and they have the doctor, the psychologist puts, the child psychologist puts him through a battery of tests, and he calls the parents in, and he sits down with the parents and says, now listen, here's the story. Your son is not slow. He's not underdeveloped. Your son is a genius. The problem is, his mind is racing faster than his physicality. He cannot articulate as fast as he thinks. He is so ahead of himself, spiritually and intellectually, in this marshal, that he cannot express himself physically. So this is the pshat with Moshe stuttering. Wasn't the fact that Moshe had a speech defect, the fact that Moshe stuttered, was not the result of a physical inferiority. It was the result of a spiritual superiority. Got it? So let's see how he, this is what he says from the Maral. V'ani aral svatayim, shemishum shesichlo shel Moshe haya nivdal min hachumri. His seichel, His intellect, his neshama, was removed from the material world. He was on such a high spiritual plane. Lahachi haya aral svatayim. That's why he started. Biloshono shel amaral, in the words of Maral, when the Maral says seichel, hu kinui lenefesh aloki, it's his spiritual essence. That's every time you, if you're a student of the Maral, you have to know this word seichel doesn't mean intellect, it means his spiritual self. V'haynu shezeh shayach ledargo shel Moshe, shayi bevchinat yotzi min haklal. Moshe was off the charts, right? He was off the charts. Legabi haklal shel mina anushla, as opposed to normal people. V'yitziyah min haklal shel hitkashrut hagashmi baruchim. This unique situation, human condition of Moshe Rabbeinu, with his, right? Hi tochana shel madregat Moshe hakruya aral svatayim. That's why he was a stutterer. V'lo, not only that, Elishab Hemshech Yashar Lazeh. We see, now let's continue. Boyim Hem Divrei Chazal, the rabbi say, Ki Oto HaPeh Shamar, Lifnei Matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, he said, Lo Ish Devarim Anochi, I'm not a man of words. I stutter. The same person. Amar La'achar Matan Torah, after the Torah was given, Elu Advarim Asher Diber Moshe. Moshe was able to articulate the entire Torah afterwards. Why? How? What happened? What happened? Was there an operation? Was there speech therapy? There was no speech therapy. There was no operation. There was Kabbalat HaTorah. There was the experience of revelation. Mipnei she'al yedei matan Torah, by virtue of the giving of the Torah, nitava chibur chadash, there was a new union bein ha'elyonim v'tachtonim, between the upper world and the lower world. U'kemo she'amru, as the rabbis tell us, she'ad matan Torah, until Matan Torah, lo yarda shechina lemata, v'lo ala adam lemarom. Until the Torah was given, God never came down to our realm, and man never went up to the heavenly realm. U'bishat Matan Torah, but when the Torah was given, v'yarad Hashem al har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to our world, so the spirituality, in a sense, entered our limited physical world, right? Made it possible for God's word to be understood in our world. U'moshe Allah Elokim. Moshe Allah Elokim. And Moshe went up. So by Moshe going up and God coming down, u'ba'ofen shemitzad atzmoshe Moshe, hayeta madregishlo aral svatayim. Before that moment he was aral svatayim. He was this off-the-charts spiritual being who could not articulate fast enough physically, because of the wide gap between his spirituality and his physicality, in himself, but this new union, which brought together the spiritual down and Moshe's physicality up, who shegoram lidei shinui mimadregat lo ish dvarim lemadregat ve'elad dvarim. So Moshe had a kind of spiritual, he called it an epiphany, call it a spiritual operation. It was a great moment of chibur, that Moshe now had the ability to articulate physically. His physicality was elevated to his spirituality. Ba'ofen shegam tfisato shel maral, and this is what the maral says, b'madrega shel aral svatayim, Mikorahu betargo munkelis anal ki kod adiburu. Okay, that's just concluding. That's a wondrous idea. So this explains to us what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu of all people had a speech defect. So it wasn't, as we said, as he explained so brilliantly, Rav Hotner, that Moshe's speech defect was not the result of a physical inferiority. It was the result of a spiritual superiority, which was corrected and justified at Matan Torah, at the revelation of the Torah. Okay, let's do number two. Number two is a few lines from the introduction of the Meshech Chochma, of the Or Sameach, to Sefer Shmot. And I've just taken a few lines, but we're going to explain it outside. The Meshech Chochma presents, in his introduction to Sefer Shmot, a very fundamental yesod in Yahadut, a very fundamental Evan Hapina, a cornerstone of Jewish thought. And he's talking about Bechira. We've talked about Bechira. You learn about Bechira all your life. Bechira is the source of the human persona, that we have free choice. That's what we're all about. Man is a Baal Bechira. Man has the ability to choose either to do the right thing or to do the opposite. So the Meshech Chochma writes, and I've cut and pasted this Meshech Chochma because it's a lengthy piece, but this is the point we're going to bring up. He's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Al Kochani says, perforce, Shehashem Yitbarach Shalal Mimenu HaBechira LeGamri. God took away the Bechira from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, listen carefully. At the beginning, this is just going to sound like words to you, but we're going to try to make sense of it. God took away Moshe's Bechira. V'nishar Muchrach Kimelachim. And Moshe became almost like a robot, like angels. He just had to do the right thing. V'hatam, and the reason, shahatachlit hu ha-bechira. The purpose of life is bechira. The purpose of life is to live with free choice. Shebelo bechira, ein ma'ala al ha-adam yoter mikol ha-nimtzayim. Without bechira, we're like an animal. Right? Animal, you know, he doesn't have any free choice. He sees something to eat, he doesn't say, well, today, you know, I'm on a diet today, the cow says. Right, I'm not going to eat it, right? There's no bechira, right? So Bechira is everything. That's our uniqueness. Now listen, Aval ha'emet, but the truth be told, ki kol ha'ikar hu l'natzeach ha'bechira. But the whole purpose of life is to defeat free will. How do we understand this? Let's explain. When Friday afternoon comes, and you have to cook for Shabbos, and you say to yourself, you know what? I'm tired of cooking for Shabbos. I don't need this business. This week, we're not having Shabbos. Right? Do you make such a decision? You don't make such a decision.
It doesn't work that way.
Right? It doesn't work that way. Why doesn't it work that way? Maybe if someone was a Baal Tshuva, and they're becoming frum, so maybe for the first few months, it does work that way. You know, this week I'm going to keep Shabbos. Next week, I'm not going to keep Shabbos. You know, I knew a fellow, you know, who became a Baal Tshuva, and he was a chain smoker. And that was his hardest thing. And he would say, like, you know, till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he couldn't take it anymore. He would go down to the basement and have a cigarette, right? So that it was a great simcha for him, the first Shabbos that he was able to make it without smoking, right? But, you know, he has Bechira, right? But it's like a football game, right? When you play football, you have to advance the ball to the line of scrimmage. Once you get to that line of scrimmage, you don't have to worry about behind you, you just keep going, right? So you keep going towards the other goalpost, right? So that's how Bechira works. Once you made a commitment to keep Shabbos, you don't have Bechira anymore, I'm going to keep Shabbos, I'm not going to keep Shabbos. You're above Bechira. That's what he means. Moshe was like Malachim, he was above Bechira. You reach a point with Shabbos, with Kashrus, I'm above Bechira, right? With learning, right? Not everybody with this shir and this weather is above Bechira in coming to the shir, but you are, right? What are you, it's raining, it's going to snow, I'm still going to come to learn Torah, right? So we reach a point, even the Bechira is the essence, I'm above Bechira, but the goal of Bechira is to defeat Bechira, to be above Bechira. So we, your Shomer Shabbat, you don't have any Bechira anymore about Shabbat. And that's how we keep growing spiritually. With everything that we do, we become beyond Bechira, right? Got the point? That explains a very difficult concept in these parshiot. Kaved lev paro. God hardened Paro's heart. Right? And the rabbis are bothered by this. There's free will here. Zelo fair. Why should Paro be, first of all, why should Paro be punished? Because God said we were going to be enslaved. So there are many answers to this the Rishonim give. That, you know, nobody, first of all, no one said it was going to be the Egyptians. Why did you choose to be the one to do God's will? And secondly, you didn't have to squeeze the vice so hard. You didn't have to do it with such misery, right? But why was... He has free choice. Paro has free choice. What's Kaved Lev Paro? So the point is this. The same way that if you keep doing the right thing, you become above Bechira, and you no longer have any choice in the matter, in doing the right thing, if you keep doing the wrong thing, you sink and think that you can't help yourself anymore. You are now subject to your evil nature. You have no bechira anymore. That's what happens to a person, like Paro. That's what happened to him. And you should know, the Maharal points this out, that this is the nature of kabei lev Paro, which can be translated as liver and heart. And Paro is from the Orif. Take the letters of Paro, the Orif, the neck, relates to the head. So if you're upside down, really the ideal way to live your life is that Moach, your mind, should control your lave, right? To be run by emotions is very dangerous. Very dangerous that your life is dictated by your heart. You know? That's not a healthy thing. Ahava mikalkelet et hashura. Love is blind. Love distorts. Sina mikalkelet et hashura. If you hate something, it's going to distort your decision-making process. So the ideal way to conduct one's life is moach, your brain first, and then your heart, and then your passion, your kaved, your liver, which is the seat of passion, right? That's moach, lev, kaved, somewhere in here is the kaved, right? Is melech. Mem, lamed, chav, is melech, you're king, you're in charge, right? You're melech. But if you're the other way around, if you're kaved, your passion controls your lev, kaved to your lev, and that controls your intellect, that's kalei, that's destruction. Chalem is destruction. That's Paro. Paro was kalem, right? That's why he was the orif, he was the back of the head, the neck, the nape. He turned his head away from the Rabbanu Shlomo. So this is the nature of Bechira, and this answers the question of how Paro was unable to change his mind, right? Just was unable to change his mind. You know, I think Winston Churchill once said, definition of a fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject, or won't change the subject and can't change his mind, right? Just can't help himself. That was Paro. And Lahavdil, that was Moshe. On the other end of the coin. So but that's in a sense the Meshechachmas beautiful presentation on the notion of Bechira. Okay. We have one more piece here. Let's try to do it. It's number 4 and it's from the Sheni Shmuel, the Safach of Rebbe. And I'll just tell it to you outside because we're not going to have time to finish it. There's a question that the Ibn Ezra asks here. Vayomer Paro Anochi Ashalech Etchem Uzavachtem Mehatiru Ba'adi. Paro acquiesces at a certain point. I'll let the people go out for 3 days, let them go out and come back, but please pray for me. So the Ibn Ezra asks, why doesn't Paro first ask them to pray for him? Right? And then he'll say, I'll let you go out. Right? Quid pro quo. So what the Shem Yishmul explains is that that would be a business deal. But in a certain sense, Paro was motivated. The whole goal of these plagues was really to bring tshuva about on the part of Paro and the Egyptians. It didn't work because, as we saw from the Meshechachma, they sunk deeper and deeper. But the goal was to get him to do tshuva. So get him to do tshuva, he should be thinking, you know, the right thing, and that's what he did. He said, okay, I'll let you go. He meant it. You know, he wanted to demonstrate I'm trying to do tshuva. This was not a business deal, you know, if you pray for me, I'll let you go. No, I'll let you go, now pray for me. Please pray for me. He really meant it. Because he didn't want, at the beginning, he was trying at least to show Moshe and Aaron that he wanted to do the right thing. But in the end, of course, he didn't. Okay, this is a very short presentation of this Shem Yishmael. Did not do it justice. Okay, thank you all very much. Next week, same time, same station.